Help us as we look at the subject tonight. I pray you'd help all of us to be attentive. Father, I pray you'd give me the wisdom to say the things you would have me to say. Lord, that we would be able to leave here tonight knowing we've met with you, knowing we've heard from you. And Father, I do ask that your Holy Spirit would come upon me and you'd help me to preach your word with boldness and with wisdom. Father, we love you. In your precious name I pray. Amen. All right, well, we're there in Ephesians chapter number 5. And like we said before, tonight we're beginning our series on the subject of the family. And particularly tonight, we're dealing with the subject of the role of a husband. And don't worry, we're going to get on the role of the wives and all that, guys. So you say, oh, it's all about the men. Don't worry, the ladies will get theirs next week. Don't worry. No, I'm just joking. I'm just kidding. But we're preaching on the role of family. We really just want to study the Bible and see what the Bible says in regards to that. And I do want to just give a disclaimer right off the bat, because sometimes you preach sermons like this and people think, oh, well, you got it all put together. Look, I don't have it all put together. And I need this sermon. And, you know, I'm going to preach the Bible, and I have the authority to preach God's Word. You know, but just because I'm preaching doesn't mean, well, what are you, the super husband? No. I mean, talk to my wife. Well, actually, don't talk to my wife, because I don't want her to tell you. But you know, let me give you this disclaimer. If I preach to you everything that I had perfect in my life, the sermons would be like 5 minutes. You understand that? So we're preaching the Bible, but we're trying to help you become a better husband. Now, if you're here today and you're a husband, you need to hear what the Word of God has to say. If you're here today and you're a male, but you're not a husband, but maybe one day you will be a husband, you better figure out what the Bible says before you get in that role. And maybe you're here and you're the wife. Well, you ought to know what your husband's role is, because the Bible says, and we'll get into this next week, you're supposed to be a helpmeet to him. Well, how can you be a helpmeet if you don't know what his role is and what he's supposed to be doing? You're a teenager here. You're a young teenage girl. You better figure out what type of man God wants you to have in the future. Maybe you're a young boy. You better figure out what type of man God wants you to be in the future to be able to lead a family. So you see, whenever we open God's Word, His Word never comes back void. So it's going to be applicable to all of us. But we're studying the subject of being a husband, the role of a husband in regards to the Bible. Point number one is this. I want to talk to you about how to lead your wife. How to lead your wife. If you look at Ephesians chapter number 5 and look at verse number 23. Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse 23. And you'll have to excuse me, the allergies just hit me really hard in the last few hours. But Ephesians 5:23 says, "For the husband," I want you to notice what it says, "is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body." The Bible gives us an analogy here, and we understand, we're preaching about this morning. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. The analogy there is that the church is the body of Christ and Jesus is the head. You know, the idea there is that Jesus is in charge. He is the leader. Your head and your mind is what tells your body what to do. And in the relationship of a husband and wife, the Bible tells us that the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and he is the Savior of the body. Look at verse 24. Therefore, remember I told you this morning, when you see the word therefore, see what it's there for. Therefore, the idea is, because of the last statement, because the husband is the head of the wife, he says, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. The first thing we're going to understand, and we're going to fulfill the role of a husband biblically, is this. We must assume the leadership of the home. The husband is to lead the home. Go with me quickly. Keep your finger there in Ephesians 5, because we're going to be coming back to it. But go with me to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3. And Genesis chapter number 3 is a very familiar story. Adam and Eve, when they sinned and they were being punished because of their sin in the garden. And I'd like you to notice something. Genesis chapter number 3, look at verse number 16. Genesis chapter number 3 and verse 16. This is God speaking, by the way. And God says in Genesis 3:16, He says, "Unto the woman, He said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband." Look what it says. "And he shall rule over thee." Let me tell you something. You're in a Baptist church. And even more than that, this morning, I hope you understand that. I don't know. I think I might kind of mentioned that this morning. This is a Baptist church. Maybe you don't know that. But we're in a Baptist church, and more, even more than that, you're in an independent fundamental Baptist church, and even more than that, you're in a Bible preaching Baptist church. And what that means is in this church, we preach the Bible, like it says in 2 Timothy, be instant, in season, out of season. Whether it's popular, you say, what does that mean? Whether it's popular, whether it's not. And at this church, we still believe that in the Bible, God has made the man, the husband, the head of the church. Christ is the head of the church. The head of the family. Now look, I understand what I just said goes against everything Oprah Winfrey taught you. I know that. I know it goes against everything Dr. Phil. Well, Dr. Phil said, listen, according to the Bible, the husband is the head of the wife. Now, there was a day when you preached that and people would say, amen. Today you preach that and people say, oh, is this okay? But it doesn't matter what society says. Husbands, your role is to lead your wife. You're the head of the wife. You're to rule over her. But you know what the sad part is? Is that we used to be afraid to preach this because it was politically incorrect. But you know what I found over the years is this. That today we have developed a society of men who don't want to lead. Today women are forced to take the role of leadership in the family. Because the dad or the husband doesn't have the backbone or the character or the integrity to say, hey, I'm going to lead this home. And instead they'll sit back and let the wife be the spiritual leader. Let the wife be the one that does the discipline and does the Bible reading and does the church going and does the thing. And let me tell you something. If you're going to fulfill the role of a husband, the first thing you've got to understand is this. Take your role as a leader. I remember when I was in the military, when we were in basic training, often we were in flight and there'd be a flight chief. And the flight chief was just one, just like us, somebody that was in boot camp, but they had made him the leader. And whenever the flight would get out of control and we'd be, people would be messing around and not doing the drill instructors. Yeah, that's not what we called them in the Air Force, but that's what you know, man. The MTIs would come up and they wouldn't go to the flight and start yelling. They'd go to that leader and there's what they say: take control of your flight. And what that meant was this: you're in charge. Take control. Make them obey. Make them listen. And today, it used to be we would preach to the women, submit to your husband. But now we got to preach to the men. Rule your wife. Be the leader. Stand up. Take control of your family. You will never be the leader and the husband that you got to be until you realize that you've got to take the role of leadership in your home. The Bible says you're the head of the family. The Bible says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. You're there in Genesis. Go with me to Numbers, chapter number 30. Numbers. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Numbers, chapter number 30. Let me explain something to you, husband. You are to be the head of the church. The head of the family. You are supposed to be the head, the ruler. And let me tell you something. The word husband, the root word, I like etymology. I like finding out where words come from. The word husband, the root word means, it comes from these words, house bander. The husband was the one who was supposed to bind the house together. He was supposed to bring the house. He was the house bander. That's why he was called the husband. And in Numbers chapter number 30, I'd like you to look at verse number 6. I want you to understand something. The husband is not only the head. He's not only the leader. He's responsible for what happens in the home. Sir, you are responsible for what happens in your home. Let me give you an example of that. Numbers chapter number 30, look at verse number 6. Numbers chapter 30, verse 6, the Bible says, and the Lord thy God... Is this right? I'm in Deuteronomy. Good night. Numbers chapter number 30. Isn't it pretty good? I read two words and I realize I'm not in the right passage. Numbers chapter 30. Look at verse number 6. There used to be a day where I'd just read the whole thing and just preach that. Numbers chapter number 30 and verse number 6. Look what it says. Numbers 36 says, and if she had at all an husband. Now the subject is a wife. It says, we're talking about a woman. It says, if this woman had an husband, look what it says. When she vowed or uttered aught out of her lips, wherewith she bound her soul. Numbers chapter number 30 we're learning about making a vow to God. And God is given as an example here about a woman who made a vow to God. And God has explained to us, if a woman makes a vow to God, and she has a husband, look at verse 7, and her husband heard it, he heard her make that vow, and held his peace, he didn't say anything, at her in the days when he heard it, then her vow shall stand. And her bonds wherewith she bound her soul shall stand. But, look at verse 8, if her husband does disallow, the word disallowed saying, does not allow her on the day that he heard it, then he shall make her vow which she vowed, then he shall make her vow which she vowed and that which she uttered with her lips, wherewith she bound her soul of none effect, and the Lord shall forgive her. Do you see that? Look at verse 9. But every vow, if a widow and her that is divorced, wherewith they have bound their soul, shall stand against her. And if she vowed in her husband's house, or bound her soul by a bond with an oath, and her husband heard it, and held his peace at her, and disallowed her not, then all her vows shall stand, and every bond wherewith she bound her soul shall stand. But if her husband hath utterly made them void on the day he heard them, then whatsoever proceeded out of her lips concerning her vow, or concerning the bond of her soul, shall not stand. Her husband hath made them void, and the Lord shall forgive her. Let me explain what this passage is talking about. The Bible is teaching when you make a vow to God, you better be very careful. Because when you make a vow to God, God's going to hold you that vow. He's going to expect you to fulfill that vow. But he says a wife, when a wife makes a vow to God, when the husband first hears that vow, he can say, no. And if he says, no, we're not doing that, God will forgive her. God will say, okay, you're fine. That vow is disallowed. But if she makes a vow and her husband keeps her peace and says, okay, then she has to do what she did. And the idea there is this. The husband is responsible for what happens in the home. Do you understand that? So if your wife says, you know, oh man, the preaching was really good, and I'm going to make a vow to God, I'm going to give Him 50% of my income. You know, and the husband hears that and he's like, I don't think so. Then God is not going to judge you for that vow. You understand that? Because see, God puts the burden on the husband because he's the leader. Let me tell you something. What happens in your house is you know, the buck stops here. You know, the analogy. You're the boss. You're the leader. You're responsible. You know, people say to me, I can't serve God because my wife doesn't serve God. You make her serve God. You say, well, what if I can't get my wife to come? Look, I don't have this issue. Obviously, my wife is great. My wife is wonderful. But if my wife wouldn't come to church, I'd make her go to church. I'd carry her to church. I'd make her do right. Why? Because I'm the leader. And we've gone away from that mentality today. And you might be looking at me like, you are insane. You are crazy. I'm calling CPS. Do whatever you want. But the Bible says, husband, you're the head. You're the leader. You're the ruler. And by the way, you're responsible. What happens in your home, you're responsible. How those kids get raised, it's your responsibility. The things that happen, you've got to take that role of leadership. You've got to take that role of leadership. Go back to Ephesians chapter number 5. If we're going to fulfill our role as a husband, number one, we've got to understand that the husband is to lead his wife. Number two, not only is he supposed to lead, but we've got to understand how to love your wife. How to love your wife. Look at Ephesians chapter number 5. Look at verse 25. See, some of you ladies, you hear that type of preaching and you're like, what? My husband's supposed to be the leader? You know, and you think, this isn't going to be good for me. But notice, God doesn't just give a blank check to the man and says, you're the leader. Do what you want. He says, the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. But then he backs it up. Look at verse 25. He backs it up with a very intense verse. And in verse 25, he says, because of that, husbands, love your wives. Now, I want you to notice something. God tells us to do what does not come natural. You know that there's no verse in the Bible where God commands a wife to love her husband? Not one. There's a verse in the Bible where God commands the elder women of the church to teach the younger women how to love their husband. But there's no commandment in the Bible where God commands a wife to love her husband. You know why? Because it's very natural for a woman to love. Now, I'll tell you this. There's many verses in the Bible where God tells a woman to honor her husband, to respect her husband, and that's a sermon for next week. But, literally. But God tells the man to love his wife. But he doesn't just say, husbands, love your wife. Notice what he says, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as. That means in the same way
even as Christ also loved the church.
See, God says, husband, it's your job to love your wife. But how?
He said, I want to explain this to you, men. Here's how you're to love your wife in the same way that Christ loved the church. Well, then you got to ask this question. Well, how did Christ love the church? Look what it says, verse 25.
Husbands, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church.
Look what it says, the last phrase of verse 25. And gave himself for it. That's a full commitment.
That's a no holds back.
You know, our wives will respect us and will love us and will honor us and will obey us when they feel like their husbands love them to the point where they would be willing to die for their wife.
Now here's the thing. I'm sure any guy here would say, I'd be willing to die for my wife.
Okay, well, if you're willing to die for her, would you be willing to live for her? See, we'll say we're willing to die, but you know, we cannot convince them we're willing to die when we're not willing to live for them.
He says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church.
And gave himself for it. That's a tough love. Jesus Christ is the head, the church is the body, in the same way the husband is the head, the wife is the body, and the head was willing to die for the church. In the same way, you and I, husband, ought to be willing to die. Gave himself for it, look at verse 26.
That he might sanctify and cleanse it with a washing of water by the word. Not only, say, how do we love our wives? Well, first of all, we love them by being willing to give up our lives for them.
Number two, we love them by discipling them. Look what it says, verse 26. Jesus Christ, the analogy here is Jesus with the church.
That he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is sanctifying his church and cleansing his church. How's he doing it? By the word.
And in the same way, husband, it's your job. Do you know that it's my job to disciple my wife? I thought you guys... No, husband, you're the leader. You're in charge.
It's your job to present the word to your wife, to instruct the word to your wife, to teach the word to your wife. And the sad part is that the average wife, you know, here's the thing with churches. I've grown up in church my entire life, and here's the thing.
Churches are filled with women because men are just not spiritual.
And that's a sad statement, and that's not going to be the life story of Verity Baptist Church. I mean, we've got some great men here who've got some character and want to serve God and be spiritual and praise the Lord for it. But let me tell you, husband, it's your job to be the spiritual leader.
It's your job to teach and to wash and to cleanse and to disciple your wife. Not vice versa.
You say, how do I do it? With the Word. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians, right. Just go back in Ephesians to Galatians, and then you've got 1 and 2 Corinthians. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 14. I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter number 14. Look at verse number 34. 1 Corinthians chapter number 14. Look at verse number 34. 1 Corinthians chapter number 14. Look at verse number 34.
Look what it says. Let your women keep silence in the churches. Man, we're just reading all sorts of controversial verses today.
Let your women keep silence in the churches? Yeah. We're not having any women preachers at Verity Baptist Church. No, we're not inviting Joyce Myers. It
says, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. And look, we'll use the common sense. We're not talking about, you know, some of you ladies are going to come into church next week.
How you doing, sister?
I'm not permitted to
speak. That's not what we're talking about.
You know, we're talking about preaching, okay? Obviously.
But it says, let your women keep silence in the church, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law, look at verse 35, and if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church.
You see that? See, husband, God commands you to be so spiritual that your wife could ask you a question about the Bible and you answer it. You say, well, how do I do that? You got to get in your Word. You got to read your Bible. You got to study the Bible. You got to be in church. You got to be under preaching. You got to have your own personal time with God. Your own personal time in prayer. Your own personal time in Bible reading. And then it's your job to disciple and wash and cleanse your wife. You're the leader.
Go to Ephesians chapter number 5. Look at verse 26 again. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Look at verse 27. Why do we do that?
Why do we teach our wives? Why do we disciple our wives? Why do we rule our wives? Why do we do that? Look at verse 27.
That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish.
See, your job, see, here's my job. You know, I'm not going to take the time to do it, but this morning we read the qualifications of a pastor in 1 Timothy. Did you notice that one of the qualifications of a pastor is to have a wife? See, for a pastor or for a future pastor, the first church you will ever lead is the church of your house. You've got to be able to teach and disciple your wife. Teach her the Bible. Teach her the word before you can stand up and teach other people's husbands and other people's wives. And that's our job as husbands. We need men-led homes. Spiritual men-led homes. That will teach... And by the way, let me tell you something. And, you know, women won't today, you know, they might not admit it and they might not like it, but let me tell you something. Every single woman is looking for a man that'll say, hey, I'm going to lead. Women don't want to lead. They want a man to say, follow me as I follow Christ. They want a man who'll say, hey, honey, we're going to read the Bible today. We're going to pray today. We're going to church today. We're going to lead. And by the way, that's what kids want too. Kids want to see a daddy who's going to have some character and some integrity and say, hey, you know, we, remember what Joshua said? As for me, and if my wife says it's okay, we shall serve the Lord. Is that what he said? No, he said, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. That's what Joshua said. That's the type of men we need. Leaders.
Spiritual leaders who will disciple, who will love. Go with me to... We'll go back to Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse number 28. He continues this idea. He goes on and on about loving your wife. Because, you know, men don't get things very easily. Your wives know that. You have to tell your husband the same thing like 18 times before it clicks.
You know, Valentine's Day is coming up. It's like... December. You know, I really like this skirt right here. This one, honey. This one. You know, and then like, and I'm thinking to myself, what was that thing that she said she wanted? What was it? She wanted a blouse. That's what it was, a blouse. You know, guys don't get things very easily. They're kind of thick-headed. So God just keeps going on over. He's like, love your wife, love your wife. Look at verse 28.
So ought men to love their wives. First he said, how should we love our wives? Even as Christ also loved the church. Look at verse 27. Now he gives us, verse 28. Now he gives us a different idea. He said, so ought men to love their wives, look what he says, as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Look at verse 29. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church.
How am I to love my wife? The way you love your own body, your own flesh. You know you do what you want to do.
You do what feels good to you.
When you're hungry, you feed yourself. When you need to, you know, cut your hair, you cut your nails, you take care of yourself, you buy yourself clothes. And here's the thing, the idea that God's trying to teach us is this. You love your wife the way you love your body. Because here's the thing, when you love your wife the way you love your body, you'll always take care of her first. This is what we struggle with as men. Men, we're just selfish by nature. And he says, men, you ought to love your wife in the same way you love yourself. Because if you love your wife like you love yourself, your wife will never do without. She'll always have your attention. She'll always have your first, you know, desire. She'll, you know, your wife will say, honey, can we do this? And you'll say, yes, we do. But see, here's the thing. Your wife says, honey, can we go, you know, whatever the analogy is. Honey, can we do this? No, I'm too busy. You know, shame on you if your wife says, honey, could we read the Bible tonight? No, I'm watching the game. Shame on you. You say, well, the thing is, I'm doing what I know that's the problem. If you're doing what nourishes you, you're doing what you want. If you love your wife the way you love yourself, you put her first. You do what she wants. You go on that walk. You'd hold her hand. You'd go to church with her. You'd go grocery shopping with her. You'd give her the time she needs. Why? If you loved her like you love yourself.
Amen. But our problems as husbands is this. We put ourselves first. And God says, if you're going to love your wife, here's how you do it. The same way you love yourself. That'll take care of it. Look at verse 29. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourish and cherisheth it, even as the Lord of the church. See, here's what you got to understand. When you love your body as your own flesh, you guys are the same flesh. Skip down to verse number 31. Look what it says. This is found all throughout the scriptures. Verse 31. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. The Bible says when you got married, you became one flesh. So when you love your wife like you love your body, you're actually loving your body. Because you're one flesh. Look at verse 28 again. So are men to love their wives even as their own bodies. Look at the last part of verse 28. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. When mama's happy, everyone's happy. Do you understand that? The sooner you get that through your head, the sooner your life's going to be easier. When your wife's happy, you'll be happy. When you put yourself first, you're not going to be happy. Love your wife. How?
Like Christ loved the church.
How?
Like you love yourself. That's how you got to love your wife.
Go to Colossians chapter number 3. You're there in Ephesians? Go past the book of Philippians and Colossians. Is anybody hot?
Anybody hot? You're hot back there. Why don't we open that door, brother? I'm burning up, and I'm always burning up. If we need to turn the air conditioning on or whatever, let's do it.
Colossians chapter number 3, look at verse number 19. Colossians chapter number 3, look at verse number 19. Colossians 3:19, look what the Bible says. Colossians chapter number 3, and verse 19, the Bible says, husbands, love your wives.
We get that. Look what he says. Very, very interesting.
And be not bitter against them. Very interesting verse. That word bitter is talking about having an intense distress or hatred. The word bitter, you ever say, that person left a bitter taste in my mouth? You know what I'm talking about? It's like biting into a lemon. And the Bible says, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Let me give you some insight, and maybe I'm giving you more information than I should, because then you will come back next week. But you got to understand this. This is how God designed marriage. Women respond to love. And that's the one thing men don't do naturally. So God spends verse after verse after verse explaining to us how to love our wives. But men, ladies, I don't know if you know this, do not respond to love. Say, what are you talking about? It does nothing for the man to cuddle you. Now look, it does something for you to cuddle you, so he should cuddle you. But the guy would be just as happy going to bed, rolling over and going to sleep. That doesn't mean he loves you any less or anything. He doesn't respond to love like you do. You respond to love and praise the Lord for it. You're the wife. But you know what the man responds to? Respect. And oftentimes, when a wife disrespects, it makes the man be very bitter. But God says, husband, that's a sermon for next week. Husband, love your wives and be not bitter against them. See, here's what you got to understand. And go with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. Now look, don't you go home and say, see, the pastor said I don't have to cuddle. You cuddle her. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just explaining to you that women respond to love. Men respond to respect. Two different things. It means more to your husband for you to obey him than for you to disobey him, but say, I love you, honey. You understand that? But here's the thing. Here's what I want you to understand, man. The reason I'm bringing that up is because this. God says we ought to love our wives in the same way we love the church. Now here's the thing. We want to love our wives when they're obedient. When everything's right. When I come home, the house is clean. Dinner is waiting for me. She's going to rub my feet. You know, that's when we want to love our wives. But you got to understand what he said. He said, love your wives in the same way that Christ loved the church. Now here's what you got to understand. Christ has an overwhelming, unconditional love. But oftentimes, we as the church sin against God. Sin against Christ. Sin against His Word. Disrespect Him. And God says, in the same way, husband, you ought to love your wife. And don't be bitter. You say, well, you don't understand my wife. She doesn't listen to me. She makes fun of me. She's so disobedient. She's so ornery. She's so rebellious. She's not godly. She's not. And I understand that. Bring her next week. We'll deal with that. But you got to understand, it doesn't matter what she does. Your job is to love. Your job is to love her, to take care of her. And then you say, well, I'm just so bitter. Get over it. Because Jesus Christ loves you even when you muff up, even when you disobey, even when you ignore Him, even when you skip church, even when you skip sowing, even when you withhold the tithe, even when you go against Him, He says,
Well, my wife doesn't cook for me. Love her anyway. My wife doesn't listen to me. Love her anyway. My wife doesn't come to church with me. Love her anyway.
You're there in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Look at verse 1. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 is what some refer to as the love chapter. Now, modern versions of the Bible have changed it to love. But the King James Bible uses the word charity. Now let me explain to you why the word charity is the correct word to use there. They should not have changed it to love. And it's because this. Love, if love is a noun, you understand what I mean by a noun, a person, place, or a thing? If love is a thing, charity is a verb, an action. Charity is actually love in action. And that's what 1 Corinthians 13 is about. 1 Corinthians 13 is not just telling us how to love, it's telling us how to do love. How to have action in love. And in 1 Corinthians 13, look at verse number 1. The Bible says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have no charity, I become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gifts of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Do you see that? If you have all the faith so that you could remove mountains and have not charity, the Bible says, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Look at verse 4. Here's love in action. Charity suffereth long, and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh not evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth.
How do I love my wife? That's how you love your wife. The same way that Christ loved you. The same way that Christ gave Himself for you.
I didn't have you look at it, but in Colossians there, chapter 3, you don't have to go back there if you don't want to, I'll just read it for you. But in Colossians 3, 19, where he says, husbands, love your wife, and be not bitter against him. In the same chapter, in verse 13, he said, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, even if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye.
How do I love my wife? The same way that Christ loved you. And as many times as you mess up and he continues to love you, and he's not bitter towards you, you ought to love your wife the same way. Take care of your wife.
Not only that, let's move through this quickly because I'm running out of time, but go with me to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. You find there those T books. You got 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy. Go to 1 Timothy chapter number 5. Look at verse number 8. 1 Timothy chapter number 5. Look at verse number 8.
First Timothy chapter number 5, look at verse number 8.
We said number 1, you've got to learn how to lead your wife. We said number 2, you've got to learn how to love your wife. Number 3, you've got to learn how to provide for your wife. Look at 1 Timothy chapter number 5, look at verse number 8. 1 Timothy 5, 8 says, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. You know, today we've got a society of men, we've risen a society of men that think they're men enough to go to bed with a young lady and reproduce children and then don't want to take care of that child. And if you're going to be a biblical husband, and young ladies, let me just explain something to you. There, you know, I don't want to get too descriptive, but I heard a preacher say this. They're not going to... That's not going to work. They're not going to purchase if it's free. You understand what I'm saying? See, we've got these young ladies putting their bodies out there for any young man who wants to just have his way with them. And then they're wondering why they end up, you know, taking care of a bunch of kids without a husband. And really, my heart goes out to the ladies because they get the bad part of the deal. The guy gets to do whatever he wants, party all night long, impregnate all sorts of women, and goes on his merry way, and has no issues, has no responsibility. Let me tell you something. The Bible said it's
But instead, you're selling yourself cheap.
You're selling yourself cheap.
He comes along, does what he wants, goes on his merry way, and you've got the pain. You've got the burden. You've got the heartache.
Husbands, provide for your wives. And by the way, let me just say this right now.
And you know, take this however you want, but I'll just be very blunt with you.
At my house, I do absolutely no laundry.
Don't wash the dishes, don't make any meal, don't do anything. You say, you're a bad person. No, my wife stays home with our kids, raises our kids, homeschools our kids, praise God, takes care of the family, guides the family. My job is to provide for the family. She takes care of the house, amen and amen. But let me tell you something. If I force my wife to go to work, you better believe I'm going to help out with the dishes, and I'm going to help out with the laundry, and I'm going to help out. Because it's not for these women. I don't understand these women. You go to work, and then you got to take care of all the house. You're getting the bad part of the deal. Husband, if your wife goes to work, help her. Take her job, and she's going to take your job. But at my house, I don't do that job, because I don't take... My wife does her job. She has her role. I play my role. My role is to provide. Her role is to guide the house. That's what the Bible says. And that's right. But if your wife works, you better help. It's not her job to work 40 hours a week and come home and cook you dinner. You understand what I'm saying? That's not fair. You help out. But if she's at home, let her take care of it. Praise the Lord. Because that's really God's will. You're there in 2 Timothy. You know, we've read the verse 8, but if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Go down to verse number 14. Look what it says. 1 Timothy 5:14. Look what the Bible says. I will therefore that the younger women... Understand, this is God speaking. Through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, the Apostle Paul wrote down these words. I will. This is God's will. You say, Pastor, what is God's will for my life? You know, you're a young lady. Pastor, what's God's will? Here's God's will. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Explain to me where it says there that you're to be the CEO of eBay and run for governor and be the Secretary of State and you know, do this and do that. That's not what it says. What's the job of a wife? Guide the house, get married, have children. And by the way, you know, if you're a housewife, you stay home with your kids all day, and you raise those kids, and you love those kids, and you homeschool those days. You don't let those women that go out and work all day make you feel like you're second rate, like you're some sort of a second, less than they are. You know the most important thing a person can do with their life is raise a child. Do you know that I go to work and maybe I'll fix some air conditioning unit, maybe I'll work, do some electrical thing, and that means nothing in the sake of eternity? You know that if I go home and I put a filter in an air conditioning unit and I tune it up and I put in the right refrigerant charge and I charge it up, it means absolutely nothing. But my wife stays home and takes these two children and reads the Bible to them and prays with them and teaches them the Bible and teaches them how to read and how to write, and she's investing in the life of an eternal soul. That's more important than going to work at some job. You understand that? But today we have ladies that are being made to feel like they're some sort of a second-class citizen. Oh, you're a housewife? You didn't go to Bible college? You didn't get a degree? Good night! The most important thing you can do is raise your kids! That's your job. I'll preach you next week's sermon.
Take care of your wife. Provide for her. Go to 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter chapter number 3. You say, Pastor, this goes radically against everything I've ever been taught. I know. It's funny how the Bible is, isn't it?
I don't like your sermon, and you don't like the Bible, because everything I said came straight out of the Bible. I don't know if you noticed this. You say, you know, you guys that come to the men's preaching night, let me just give you a real quick preaching lesson. Here's my style of preaching. Read the verse and yell about it. Read the verse and yell about it. Read the verse and yell about it. That's what I do. Go soul winning with me. I read the verse and explain it. I read the verse and I don't know what else to do.
Go to 1 Peter chapter number 3. Look at verse number 7. Not only that, you got to learn how to dwell with your wife. 1 Peter chapter number 3, look at verse 7. Look what it says. 1 Peter 3, 7. If we're going slow, it's because you're not getting there in time. 1 Peter 3, 7. Look what it says. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. The Bible says it's your job to dwell with your wife. But notice how you dwell with her. According to knowledge. Let me tell you something. Get to know your wife. Study her. Learn her.
You are to dwell with her according to knowledge. Here's a mistake men make. When you're in the pursuit of dating, you get to know everything about her. her favorite color, her favorite candy, her favorite restaurant, her favorite place. So you know everything. I mean, you're studying, you're getting a degree. But as soon as you get that ring on your finger, then you just kind of, oh, whatever. If you want to fulfill the role of a husband, it says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Be knowledgeable about your wife. What is your wife like? What does she like to do? Where does she like to go? Learn her. That's your job. Just like when you were dating her, when you were trying to get her, keep getting her. Keep pursuing her. It says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. Notice that phrase, giving honor unto the wife. The word honor means respect. Giving honor unto the wife. Look what it says, as unto the weaker vessel, and as ye being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. The Bible says we are to honor our wives as unto the weaker vessel. Understand something. The wife is the weaker vessel, according to the Bible. You know, the mistake I make a lot is, sometimes as you're fulfilling your role of a husband, you're dealing with the pressures of life. You know, you're dealing with, am I going to be able to pay the bills? And am I, you know, what's going to happen with my job? And what's going to happen with my finances? And I got to preach on Sunday. And I got to do this. And I got to do that. You get all these ways. And sometimes, you know, I'll come home and I'll vent to my wife. And I really end up putting some pressure on her that she was never meant to take. And husbands, if you're going to take the role of your wife, your role is to take some of that load off her, because she's the weaker vessel. Now, I want you to understand the terminology that God is using. The King James Bible is perfect. And notice, he doesn't say that the wife is the weak vessel. It's not, you're the strong vessel and she's the weak vessel. Do you understand that? He doesn't say, husband, you're the strong vessel and she's the weak vessel. It's not strong versus weak, it's weak versus weaker. You understand what I'm saying? God doesn't say, you're strong and she's weak. God says, you're weak and she's weaker. So get that in your mind, first of all. You're not the strong guy. I'm going to say, hey, you are weak. You've got to be poor in spirit, like we preached last week. You've got to understand, I am in need of God. I need God. I'm weak and I need His strength. But as weak as you are, husband, your wife is a weaker vessel. It's not that you're strong and she's weak. It's that you're weak and she's weaker. And you've got to honor her in that role. Your job is to take care of her. Your job is to love her. Your job is to make sure that as the weaker vessel, she receives the honor that she's supposed to get, the respect that she's supposed to get. Go back to Ephesians chapter 5 and we're done. Ephesians chapter 5. It all comes down to this. In Ephesians 5, you know what the funny thing is? Look at verse 31. It says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. And in verse 32, the Apostle Paul goes through this whole dissertation about husbands and wives. And in verse 32, he says, this is a great mystery. He says, but really, I wasn't really talking about husbands and wives. He said, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. He said, really, I was really talking about Christ and the church, but I was also trying to explain to you the analogy that fits there for husbands and wives. But in verse 33, he says, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Look, this doesn't come natural to men. It doesn't come natural to men to be leaders. Not the leader of the home. It's easier for men to just kind of step back and let things happen. It doesn't come natural to men to think of others before themselves. It doesn't come natural to love your wife more than you love yourself. It's just not natural. That's why God tells us to do it. You notice God never tells us to do what's natural? You notice God never says, you're going to sin. He knows we're going to sin. That comes natural. He tells us to do what doesn't come natural. And for a man, here's the number one thing. Love your wife. Take care of your wife. Provide for your wife. She's the weaker vessel. I know you're weak too, but she's weaker. You've got to get with God, and you've got to get in a relationship with God, and you've got to build some strength with God. You've got to get alone with God, with the Word of God, in prayer, be in church, be strengthened by the washing of the Word so that you can disciple your wife, so you can take care of your wife, and one day you can present her to Christ. You know what I'm looking forward to one day? When I'm standing in the judgment seat of Christ, and I, as the husband of my wife and the father of my children, can say, God, these is a family you gave me, and here's what I did with them. I wasn't perfect, and I made a whole lot of mistakes. I made a whole lot of sin. But here's what I did. And I want to present my wife and say, here's what I did, God. I want to present my kids and say, here's what I did, God. I wasn't perfect, but I tried to lead them right. I wasn't perfect, but I tried to lead them down the right path. I tried to bring them to church, and I tried to teach them the Bible, and I tried to teach them to love you and to love your word. Husband, that's your job. That's your job. Love your wife. Love your wife. Say, well, you don't know my wife. I think Christ knows your wife. And I think Christ loves you. And I think Christ is willing to forgive you every time. The Bible says, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And as many times as He's willing to forgive you, you just keep loving your wife. It doesn't matter. You say, I'm bitter towards her. Get over it. She's a weaker vessel. Get with God. Love God. Love your wife. Just bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord, so much. Thank you for your word. Lord, obviously, we cannot preach an all-inclusive sermon on the subject of the role of the father. All we can do is look at some verses tonight and try to encourage the men to be the spiritual leaders of their home. To take that role of being a husband, to take that role of loving their wife. And Lord, I pray you'd help our church to develop some men who'll say, I'm going to be the leader. I'm going to lead my home. Like Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Lord, I pray you bless this series as we teach on the family. Tonight we just dealt with one subject, the husband. As we continue on throughout the weeks and talk about the wives and the children, pray you'd let this be a time of growth for our families at our church. We love you, Father. In your precious name I pray. Amen.